Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with us as we gather here under the power of your Holy Spirit to meditate upon your word and to worship you. And pray that you open our hearts, make them receptive to the comfort which you've given us in the beautiful 10th chapter of John. Pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes. We very much wish that you could be here with us in beautiful Wisconsin. I don't think there's a more beautiful place in the world, especially during the month of October, than right here in Wisconsin. But since you can't be, why, we're glad to be able to share with you through means of the tapes. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us to John chapter 10. The context here, of course, you are well aware of. In the previous chapter, Jesus had just given sight to a man that was born blind. And a very vicious attack was launched by the devil against this man. And the devil tried everything he could to get him to deny Christ, but he made use of the light he had, and the Holy Spirit gave him more, and he just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger as the chapter moved on. And then finally, at the end of the chapter, he was excommunicated by the Pharisees from the church. And then Jesus found him, and the last we hear of him, he is worshiping his Savior. And this launched then into chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus is speaking mainly to his enemies and talking about the Good Shepherd and his own sheep. And we're picking up today in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. And it's the Lord Jesus says this: "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep." A central thought in the chapter, of course, is sheep. And it's not by accident that the Lord Jesus compares his people to sheep. Of all the animals in the world, I would suppose there's none that come as close to portraying what we are by nature as a sheep. Now, I've never been a farmer. I've never raised sheep. But those that have tell us a lot about sheep, and we either have to take their word for it or do some work on our own. I like to read of some of the books by Werner Keller. He was a shepherd, and he has written some excellent books. A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 is one of them. I forget what the titles of the other ones are. But he tells us a lot about sheep, and you can read what he says and then compare what he says about sheep with what we know about you and I by nature in Scripture. We come pretty close to the truth that way. There are a lot of characteristics of sheep that apply to God's people. I've listed seven of them here in the bulletin. I'm sure you can list a lot more. But one, in Scripture, the sheep was a clean animal. And God's people are clean also. We've been washed clean by the blood of the Good Shepherd. The sheep is a harmless animal. I don't think there's a school in the country that has a sheep for its mascot. If there is, I've never heard of it. You've got like the Wolverines and the Lions and the Bears and this sort of thing. But nobody picks a sheep because they're so harmless. They're not aggressive. They don't fight. They're as helpless as an animal can be. Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." And that's exactly the condition you and I are in by nature. They're gentle. And God's people in James 3:17 are to be gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works. They're dependent. They cannot get along without their shepherd. And so we're told to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," relying on God one single day at a time for our existence. They're prone to wander. And so the Lord tells us to pray, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And then finally, they're a useful animal. The wool is used for many things. The meat is used for many things. And the Lord, and we say to our Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's the first question that's asked after we're converted. Dwelling a little bit on this the sixth one, the prone to wander, this is one of the key traits of sheep, according to Werner Keller. And I guess you could put it kind of this way. If you had a little flock of sheep in a large green pasture, a really good pasturage, and everything outside of the fence was dry and barren, not neat at all. And let's say that that field was 1,000 miles wide, or 1,000 miles each way. So you had 1,000 miles of fence to the north, the east, the south, and the west. And these sheep were in there. There are two things that you can bank on. Number one is that if in all of that fencing there's one little place where the fence is broke, the sheep are going to find it. That's the first thing you can bet on. They will find it. And the second thing you can bet on is that they will go through it. They'll get out. That's the way they are by nature. And when you look at something like Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's exactly why so often believers are pictured as sheep. Helpless, willful, prone to wander. Now, for an animal like this, there are a lot of dangers. And here in chapter 10, in our verses, the Lord mentions two. The first one he mentions is what he calls the wolf. And there are many wolves in the pack, but there's one main wolf, and that's the devil. And I believe that this is what the Lord Jesus has reference to here. The devil and all the things that he throws at the sheep to try to get them out of the flock of the good shepherd. The wolf here would be kind of a symbol of anything that represents danger to the sheep. And you could, the list could go on and on and on. The one that Jesus mentions here is the hireling. The hireling is somebody who is hired. He's being paid to watch the sheep. But he has no love for the sheep. Now we have to be a little careful here. The Lord Jesus does tell us in Luke chapter 10, verse 7, the laborer is worthy of his hire. So you can't say that any pastor who's getting a paycheck is a hireling. That may not be true. It all depends on the heart, doesn't it? It depends on the heart. The hireling is in it because it's his job. That's all it is. There's no love for the sheep. The hireling, he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, not the shepherd. Remember, I am the shepherd, the good one, as Jesus Christ. Well, hireling isn't. He might be a shepherd, shepherd in quotes, but he's not the shepherd, the good one. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. Now, there will be some examples of this. A lot of them, I suppose, but if a false prophet knows that something is wrong, but he's going to lose his popularity by coming right out and saying it. He won't say it. Now, there can be a danger to the sheep, but he won't tell the sheep about it because he loses popularity with the people. That's the same thing as seeing the wolf coming and fleeing and leaving the sheep. There are a lot of examples of this, but the key command for a shepherd is only one. and that is be faithful. Or to put it another way, feed the flock. That's all it is. Now we read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 today, and in that epistle, Paul says, you know, we didn't come to you people with a lot of flattering words. And if you read that chapter carefully, you find out what he's saying, that all we had to offer you was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And none of the extra trimmings that so often the false prophets gear in on. The Pharisees of the day were the false prophets for what Jesus was concerned. You saw what they did to the sheep that had been given His sight. And they drove Him right out. Never any love for Him. The wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. Now the word scatter is interesting. It doesn't destroy the sheep. If you're talking about the real sheep, the sheep that are in the fold of the Good Shepherd, there's not a wolf that can destroy them. They're protected by the Good Shepherd. But they can sometimes be scattered. And they're scattered because they didn't have a shepherd, a physical shepherd, that stood up for them and protected them. The hirelings were in it because it was a job and that's all they cared. And when danger came, they turned and fled. This is all a matter of the heart. And I believe that in a person's life, it's the crises that really bring out the true character of a person. You can't tell what a person's like when things are going really well. But when things take a turn for the worse, when you're under pressure, that's where the true character comes out. A man like Job, you know, he was very wealthy. And he had good health, and he had a nice family. And he was worshiping God, and God bragged about him to the downs. See my servant Job, what a righteous man that man is. And you know what the devil said? Well, why shouldn't he worship you? You've built a hedge around him. I can't touch him. Everything is coming up roses for him. That's the only reason he's worshiping you. It's because of the physical blessings that are involved in it. But you take these things away and God, he's going to curse you to your face. You'll find out. Well, God took the hedge down. Gave the devil some leeway and said, go ahead. Do whatever you want, but don't touch him. So the devil took it all away. Lost his wealth, lost his children. And in the crisis, Job remained faithful. God bragged about him again. The devil said, well, yeah, but you haven't touched him. You hit him with that one. Give him some pain. You'll see what happens. God said, go ahead. So the devil hit him with boils. Job still remained faithful. Was driven to the point where he wished he wasn't even alive. But he didn't curse God. And his attitude was, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's the power of the Holy Spirit. The pressure makes diamonds, as they say. And you found out what Job was really like when the screws were being turned. It all gets back to a matter of the heart. When he had all the wealth, there was nothing wrong with that. As long as his heart was right. But you know, it is the matter of the heart. And I just thought of an example here that I know of in my life that to me points out exactly what Jesus Christ is talking about. There was a teacher one time. It was a day school teacher. And evidently school closed or they moved or whatever. So she lost her job as a day school teacher. And she wanted to teach in a public school, so she applied. And they gave her an interview. And they were interviewing her, asking her questions. And partway through the interview, The woman was doing the interview. He looked at her, interviewing, looked at her and said, "Do you like children? Do you like children?" No, she didn't. It was evident. She didn't get the job either, thank God. It was evident. These hirelings, do you love the sheep? You care for them? Do you care what happens to them? No. As long as you get the paycheck. That's all that makes any difference. That's what the Pharisees were. Putting the Pharisees in the congregation was like asking a fox to guard the chicken coop. That's exactly what it was like. So you see why Jesus led his sheep out of that mess. They weren't being fed there. Now in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. And remember we mentioned in the Greek that I am the shepherd, the good one. That's me. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Remember, these words were spoken to the enemy in hostile territory. Now, I think it's worth mentioning, there are three times in the New Testament where Jesus Christ is called a shepherd. One is right here where he's called the good shepherd. A second one, a second time, is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. There he's called the great shepherd. The verse reads this way, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Then it keeps on. He's called a great shepherd there. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, he's called the chief shepherd. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So it's kind of interesting, these three different designations of Jesus Christ as the shepherd. Notice what he says. "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep." There are a lot of false shepherds, and they have their sheep. They're not really sheep. But Jesus says, "I know my sheep." Now, where did he get them? Where did he get his sheep? Anybody know? Where did he get them? Anybody? I'm asking the question the wrong way. Who gave Jesus his sheep? Who gave it to him?
The Father.
The Father. That's right. The Father. The Father gave his Son a flock of sheep. When did he do that? He did it when? Pardon? After the flood? Even before that. That's right, but there's a better answer. Before the flood, even. From the foundation of the world. Yeah, that's right. These sheep were given to Jesus Christ before anything was created. The Father, and this is the love that the Father has for us. Way back in eternity, before he created anything, he gave his Son a flock of sheep. The Father did that. Jesus says, "These sheep are mine. They were given to me by the Father, and I know my sheep." Oh, boy, he knows a lot. There's a beautiful, beautiful verse in Isaiah chapter 43. You should look that up. Actually, the first three verses of Isaiah chapter 43, where the Lord is talking to his people. And this is what he says. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Now, the Lord Jesus protects his sheep when they pass through the waters that are not hurt. Noah was not hurt by the great flood that destroyed hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of people. But his good shepherd saw him through that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't hurt when they were thrown into the fire. Though you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. They were in the middle of that fire and there wasn't one hair of their head that was singed. Their good shepherd protected them. And that's what Jesus says here. I know my sheep. Call them by their name. We cannot begin to imagine the knowledge that Jesus Christ has of his sheep. And this is very comforting to us when we're in the middle of trouble, isn't it? The Lord says, don't be afraid. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. You know, a good shepherd examines his sheep every single day. He has individual names for each one. And he calls them by name and they come running over to him. This intimate knowledge that comes from a heart that has love in it. That's what you have here with the good shepherd. The contrast is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. You know, a lot of times, the world really doesn't recognize a child of God. We don't count for much of anything, usually. Kind of the scum of the earth. But what difference does it make if the world doesn't know who we are, as long as the Good Shepherd does? And Jesus says, I know my sheep. And then, another contrast in Matthew chapter 7. And in verse 21, 22, and 23, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What a contrast. To his sheep he says, I know my sheep. And to the others, I never knew you. Now what does that mean? Oh, it doesn't mean that he didn't know who they were. Or it doesn't mean that he didn't know what they were doing. But it means that he didn't work for them. He didn't do for them what he does for his own sheep. When he says, I know my sheep, that means a lot more than just an intellectual knowledge. That means that the good shepherd is leading his sheep every single step along the way. And everything that comes into their life is coming into their life for their good. It's a blessing. Now, it sometimes doesn't look that way. It didn't look, for example, like this man, this blind man who was being blessed when he was being viciously attacked by the hirelings and excommunicated from the church. It looked like a terrible massacre. But that was in John chapter 9. John chapter 10, Jesus told us that really, it was the good shepherd that was in control, and he was leading his sheep out of the fold. So there's a tremendous blessing in this. And I'm old enough now that I can look back on my life, and I can see that a lot of times, I almost said always, but at least a lot of times when I thought things were happening in the very worst way for me, it turned out to be the best thing that possibly ever could have happened. And God saved me from terrible things. Sometimes you see this when you're a little older and you look back and you see how the thing unfolds. But you can see it right now by faith. I know my sheep and I am known of mine. We'll get into that in a minute. I lay down my life for the sheep. Now that word for can mean instead of. I lay my life down instead of the sheep. The sheep should have died. But I am laying my life down in their place. I am dying for them. You're not going to have a hireling that's going to do that. They don't care about the sheep. They wouldn't die for the sheep. They wouldn't even stand out there in the cold and watch them. The good shepherd does. I lay down my life for the sheep. Now he says this. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. What fold do you think he was talking about? He was talking about the Jewish people. He came first of all to the Jewish people. He had some sheep among the Jewish people. And Nicodemus was one of them. He was a Pharisee. But there were other people. There were Gentiles that had been cast out. Now, people like you and me, that's what he's talking about. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I've got sheep that have been scattered around the whole world. Not just in this one little plan. Well, what about them? Them also I must bring. Now, it's not that, oh, gee, I've got to do this. That's not the way the word is to be taken. He's doing it because he wants to. But there's a little more than that, too. Why does Jesus say, I must bring these sheep? Because the Father commanded him to do it, that's why. The Father commanded him. You go into the world and you find every single one of your sheep and you bring them home. That's a divine command from the Father. And the Son always keeps the commands of the Father. So there's no way that one of these sheep is going to be lost. It simply cannot happen. The Father commands the Son to find them, and the Son finds them because he loves them. He loves his Father. Obey his Father. So them also I must bring. Now remember, these words were spoken to the enemy. And in effect, what Jesus Christ is saying to the devil is that you try as hard as you can, but you're not going to get one. You're not even going to get one of my sheep. I know my sheep, and I'm going to go back, I'm going to seek them out, I'm going to find them, I'm going to bring them back, and there shall finally be one fold and one shepherd. Now, there are a lot of characteristics about sheep, but there's one that we didn't mention. And I think that's probably the most important characteristic of a sheep. And that is that they have excellent hearing. The sheep has excellent hearing. They can distinguish. When their shepherd calls them, they know the voice of the shepherd. And if a stranger tries to call them, I don't care how close he might come to imitating the voice of the shepherd, they know that it's not their shepherd. They can tell. And they will not follow the voice of a stranger. A stranger can call to them all day and all night, and they're not going to come. They know the voice of their shepherd. And Werner Keller tells us that the shepherd sometimes would walk ahead of his sheep through a valley, and he had a staff in his hand that was made out of wood, and he had a rod in his other hand that was also made out of wood. And he would strike these two pieces of wood together, the rod and the staff. Now, every shepherd had a rod and a staff, but the sheep could tell the difference between the rod and staff of their shepherd and the rod and staff of another one. Their hearing is that good. And so if a hireling came along and started beating his rod and staff together, they wouldn't follow him. They wouldn't follow him. But when their own shepherd came and did it, they would follow him. Now this is very important, because the safety of the sheep depends upon listening and obeying the voice of the shepherd. I think of somebody like Mary, who brushed aside all of the other things in the world going on at that time and sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And this is characteristic of sheep. They know they're helpless. They know there's danger. But every day they listen to the voice of the shepherd. And it doesn't make any difference how loud the lion is roaring or the wolf. They're not afraid. They listen to the voice of the shepherd. They're never afraid. I will close here and, God willing, continue this next week, but we'll end with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come into this world as the shepherd, the good one. And through all the dangers that we're surrounded with, we thank you that you have given us the comfort of your word that usually begins with the words, "Fear not." Because we know that you are in control of all things, and everything that comes into our life because you allowed it, and we'll make a blessing out of it. And we pray that you give us, each of your sheep, ears that can hear, that we may know your voice and follow you and have no fear. Pray this in your name. Amen.